Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome into another edition of the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, episode 34. And this is the episode leading up to the first basketball game, Andrew, tomorrow night.
Kevin, it's game day eve. We can't open our presents early, unfortunately. We have to wait until tomorrow, like good KU basketball fans. But we have our Adidas's hung over the chimney with care, with hopes that St. Naismith soon would be there.
I like it. That actually works pretty well for me. I'm actually going to go hang a few of those up tonight, maybe. Just, you know, my wife's going to come in and go, what the hell is that? But I'm going to say, you know, St. Naismith is coming, honey.
And I know you like those old T-Macs. You're going to go hang up those old T-Macs on your chimney?
I might have to do that. You know, they are saying that Andrew Wiggins is a comparison to T-Mac. Maybe he's going to have his own shoes here pretty quick, too. I'll be able to hang those up.
That would be great. Because T-Mac was an okay basketball player, probably good in the NBA, but he had great shoes. If Andrew Wiggins can be just known for a shoe, I think it's worth the hype.
Could not agree more. Well, this is the basketball preview podcast. We've talked about this. We had the basketball preview last podcast. Of course, that was the preview to the preview. This is the actual preview podcast. We are very excited to bring it to you. It is really the first time that, I don't know, I've got like super jacked up just like writing the notes up for this. It's just, it's finally here. We're going to talk about all kinds of fun stuff like intro to the newcomers. We're going to meet our new Jayhawks. We're going to talk about some over-unders. We're going to give some Jayhawk Talk preseason awards. We are going to, I don't know, do all kinds of fun stuff. We're going to talk about some basketball. Very exciting. And of course, we will have our Johnny's Tavern $30 gift card giveaway later in the show. So be sure to listen to that. Let's just jump right in, Andrew. Let's talk about these newcomers, these new faces, these new little Jayhawks coming in, the freshmen and one really large man who's not a freshman in Tariq Black. But let's start with the man that everyone's talking about, Andrew Wiggins. Tell me a little bit about Andrew Wiggins, Andrew. Have you heard of him?
I have. He's some sort of sporting player. He plays some sport. Well, Andrew Wiggins, I'll tell you, the most important thing is one third of the Andrew twins, Andrew triplets. One of them being Andrew Wiggins, one of them being Andrew White, and one of them being myself. We all kind of look alike. Mm-hmm. We all have very similar basketball skill. So, you know, the media groups us all together. But let me tell you about Andrew Wiggins. Number 22, when you look for him out on the court, I'm sure you'll see him. You know, he's 6'8", 200 pounds from Ontario. He'll probably be playing, you know, the three or kind of a shooting guard slash small forward type of player. He'll be playing on the wing. He's the guy with the kind of frizzy hair, unless he's cut his hair. But if you've listened to this podcast or you have any knowledge about KU basketball or just basketball in general, you know who this gentleman is. He's ranked number one by every recruiting service. He's the National High School Player of the Year. He's the Gatorade Athlete of the Year. And a lot of people are saying that if you ranked basketball players, not in terms of league, not in terms of whatever, just like these are the best basketball players, he might be in the top 10 right now. Now that's very lofty.
Yeah,
very lofty.
I wrote in the show notes that he's the best basketball player in the whole wide world. I don't know if that's true, but
it's for our intensive purposes. Like, we've had some hyped players. Kevin and I, you and I have flipped out over a lot of players. We've lost our minds over Joshua Selby.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost our minds over Xavier Henry. Mm-hmm. And those guys were good. But this is nothing. Those are nothing compared to this guy. But, you know, we're just, because for the sake of completeness, we're going through this. That's who this guy is. That's why you're buying a ticket to go see this team, Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I'm very excited to see him play. As we've talked about numerous times on this podcast, I don't know if the hype is real. Well, the hype is definitely real. I don't know if he'll be able to back it up, but I'm really excited to watch. We will see tomorrow for sure. our first sight of him not in a scrimmage game, which is the only really time we've seen him play. Let's move on to Wayne Seldon. He will be wearing jersey number 1. So watch for that. 6'5", 230-pound shooting guard. He is built like a man. He is not built like a freshman. Ranked number 12 by Rivals coming out of high school. He is McDonald's All-American. He actually led the East team in scoring in the McDonald's All-American game, Andrew. And he averaged 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists in high school. Pretty excited for this guy, too. This might be actually, like, if Andrew Wiggins is 1A or 1, Wayne Seldon's 1A, and I'll be honest with you, I think Embiid's like 1B. Like, I'm really excited for all three of these guys. But any thoughts on Seldon?
You know, he's a misleading because he's a two guard. You know, he's a shooting guard, plays some point guard, but he doesn't look like it because he is huge. He, yeah. You'll think he's a post playing out there by the way he looks. And he probably, you know, for a team like Iowa State, he probably would play the post. He would play the four every time down the floor. So, I mean, he's a quick guy, but he's really, really big and strong. So, one thing to notice for those of you newbies just listening casually, he is number 1, which he's taking the spot of Nadir, who has moved numbers. So, number 1 is no longer Nadir. Number 1 is Wayne Seldon.
Yeah, I think Nadir's 10. I could be wrong on that. So, yeah, there's Wayne Seldon. You have heard that Self is trying to get Seldon and Wiggins into some sets where they are running some isolation. So pretty exciting to see some kind of some pro sets run by Self, trying to get some guys in space. Going to be interesting to see both of these guys dunk all over the opposition this year. Let's move on to Joel Embiid. He will be wearing number 21. And where's he from, Andrew? He's like from Florida, right?
He's from, well, he played high school basketball in Florida, but he's from Cameroon. You know, he's 7'2", 250, but people think he's skinny. I don't think he's necessarily skinny. He's slender, but he's got some meat on him.
Yeah.
He's not like Withy where it's just like, you know, nothing. He's just a big stick of bones. I think he's got some, he's got the body for it. He probably needs to put on a little bit of muscle, a little bit of weight, but he's just got to get there basketball wise. And he's going to be a complete basketball player. He shot up the rankings. He committed to us when he may have not even be ranked by the recruiting services, but shot up all the way to number 6 in the ESPN poll. Rick Pitino called him potentially the number 2 overall pick next year. He started playing basketball when he was 16, and Bill Self has called him a young Hakeem Olajuwon.
How about that?
If you saw in the late night game, he did do the finger wag known to Hakeem Olajuwon and Dikembe Mutombo. So let's hope that he keeps that up because I love the finger wag.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so Tariq Black is our next guy. Of course, this is not a freshman. He's a newcomer, though. Fresh Jayhawk face, 6'9", 260, power forward. He is from Memphis. He actually went to school at Memphis for 3 years, transferred after he got his diploma to KU. He only averaged like 9 points and 5 rebounds there. And you kind of heard from Memphis folks that, you know, he's kind of never quite made it, never quite put it all together for Memphis. And then he comes to KU, and it's crazy how much Self is talking about this guy. I mean, the media, it seems like there's a story every day about how Tariq Black is this emotional leader and fiery leader of the team. And Self calls him the, you know, the leader and mentor of the team, the most mature kid on the team by far. Says he's been a huge help to all the bigs and that he's really helped Embiid in practice. You know, when Embiid muscles him up, he's like, yeah, that's what you need to do. You need to do that more, you know, instead of getting mad at him. He actually, you know, urges him on. Pretty exciting guy, you know, from what we're hearing. And, man, he kind of looks like a monster out there on the court. He seems like he's going to bring that toughness to the team, you know, kind of a senior leadership in a way that we really didn't have before he came here. Any thoughts beyond that on Black?
People from Memphis can say whatever they want to say about him, but just look about to who was recruiting him when he decided to transfer. All the big names came out.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
And it came down to Duke and KU. you know, two of the top programs, maybe the two top programs. And when the two of the top programs come calling, wanting you to come in and play your last season of eligibility to try to make them competitive, you know you've got something there. You know, he averaged 9.3 points last year, 5 rebounds. But I think we've said this before. This is exactly what we need him to do. Yeah. We don't need him to score any more than that. We need him to come in, get some points, get some rebounds, and get some fouls, muscle some people up, and then Embiid can come in. Like, that's, we don't need him to be the offensive driver that maybe the Memphis fans expected him to be. We need him to be just a force down low. And I think that he's proven that he can do that. And all the stuff that Bill Self's saying in his press conferences about him kind of confirms that. So I'm excited to watch him play.
He's like the ideal garbage man too. Like, he's going to be like this, the kind of like Jeff Graves type, where he just cleans up everything. You know, seems like he's going to get so many just offensive rebounds and putbacks and stuff like that, where he's just going to be in the right place. It's just kind of the player he seems like to me. And that's going to be huge on this team. I'm going to stop you
right there.
Yeah.
You know how academic departments have like chairs, like legacy chairs?
Sure.
I can't remember, like at Oxford, there's the Newton chair, like the famous people sit in them, and like it's a legacy that's passed down. We need to have the Jeff Graves like position on the team. Like, he's the Jeff Graves power forward legacy chair. Like, so that, it starts with Jeff Graves, and then maybe it's vacant for a while, and gets picked up by Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris passes it down to to Thomas Robinson. Then it's vacant, and then it gets passed to Tariq Black. You know, it's kind of like a, just to kind of get him going. Like, if you're sitting in that chair, that means you have a responsibility to protect the team.
Yeah, no,
but it's got to be named after Jeff Graves.
I agree. And I think the Black could be kind of the enforcer too. Like, maybe it's the enforcer position. Is Jamari going to be the enforcer? You know, every team needs an enforcer. Between Jamari and Tariq Black, we got a couple guys who could be pretty good enforcers. All right, let's move on to Connor Francamp. He'll be wearing number 23. He's, of course, from Wichita, 6 foot, 165 pounds, shooting guard. He was ranked number 34 by Rivals. He's the Wichita City League all-time leading scorer and won like every three-point competition the kid's ever entered. He's just going to be a sharpshooter kind of guy. I'm not sure what his role will be this year. I'm really interested to see what it's going to be. I hope he can somehow, you know, get in and be that kind of three-point specialist off the bench for this season, because I think that's kind of what his role will be for, you know, with this team. But down the line, we're expecting big things from him. What are your thoughts there on Connor?
I think so too. I think that in garbage time for a lot of these guys, we may score more points because it's just going to be a bunch of guys shooting threes.
Yeah.
So if Connor comes in and Brandon Green comes in and a couple other of these guys come in, they're just going to want to shoot a bunch of threes. So we may score a bunch of points. So if you're into Vegas, you know, bet the overs on those games, because in garbage time, we're gonna light it up. But I'm excited to see, or I'm more interested to know, like, what his role ends up being, not necessarily this year, but just at KU in general. Like, does he end up being a point guard, or does he end up being, you know, a smaller two guard on the team, 3-point specialist? So I mean, it's just gonna depend on how his game develops, how he fits in with everybody else. But you know, he's a good player, good guy to have on the team. You know, it's not going to hurt having him sitting around waiting to play.
Absolutely. Let's move on to Frank Mason. He is wearing number 0. Kind of an interesting choice. I like, you go from T Rob as our last number 0. Now we got the littlest guy on the court, 5'11", Frank Mason from Petersburg, Virginia. He's a 4-star player. He's ranked number 76 by Rivals. I remember when he committed, a lot of KU fans were like, 76, who's this guy? You know, that's way. When was the last time a number 76 ranked player did anything at KU? And everyone's like bringing up all these examples. But man, this guy seems like he could be the real deal, from, you know, just kind of what you're hearing out of practice and stuff, that pretty underrated guy from the rankings perspective. a true point guard, which is something that a lot of KU fans were wondering if we had on this team. I'm not sure he's a redshirt candidate. I think he's going to play a little bit this year. What are your thoughts on Frank Mason?
You know, with Frank Mason, if Frank Mason was 2 or 3 inches taller, he'd be top 15 in the class, I think. And he's got the skill for it, but he's 5'11", and that may be a little generous. But I don't think he's going to redshirt either. I think there's got to be someone on the team who's going to play backup point guard minutes, and he's going to get a lot of those minutes, I think. And it kind of depends on how he comes along in games. Because sometimes, you know, they say the point guard position is the hardest to learn as a freshman.
Right.
So, you know, you got to bear with him on him kind of learn that spot. So he's going to be a little rough at first, I'm guessing. But I think by the end of the season, you know, he'll be contributing and be a huge part of this team.
Yeah, the crazy part was, remember, I don't know, a few months ago, people were really down on Nadir Tharp and saying, you know, Frank Mason's going to take his job. He's going to be the starter. And then other people were like, nah, he's going to redshirt. It's like all across the map on this guy. Kind of interesting. So I bet he's somewhere in between. But yeah, I'm with you. I think he plays a little bit this year. And then last but not least, our man Brandon Green. He'll be wearing number 14, a 6'7 shooting guard from Juliet, Georgia. He is ranked number 29 by Rivals. He was Georgia's Mr. Basketball. And here's a fun fact. Brandon's dad played basketball at Pitt State. How about that?
Because we play Pitt State tomorrow, Kevin.
Pitt State, yeah. See, I'm throwing that out there for you.
Hashtag fun fact.
Indeed. What are your thoughts on Brandon Green this year?
You know, he's one of the guys that people are saying that there's a redshirt candidate possibly out there for him. But, you know, he's a player. I mean, he did really well in the early morning at the Fog game.
Yeah.
Another three-point shooter. I think that he's got a similar game, just from what I've heard, to Andrew White. So, and the argument would be is if you redshirt Brandon Green, you put him in two classes away from Andrew White, knowing that they're a similar type of player. You know, I don't know if necessarily he's going to redshirt. I think he's got skill to play. I don't think you redshirt him with the anticipation of him, you know, trying to develop. I think he's got the skill. It would just be a purpose of delaying him a year. I think he's got some talent to help out this team. I just don't know if the minutes are there, but he's going to be exciting to watch because he can shoot the three, but I think he can get in and body some people too because he's a tall guy.
Yeah, it's interesting when you start. I'm with you exactly when you say, you know, he's got a lot to contribute, but then you start hearing Self talk about the rotation and he goes 7 deep and 8 deep and 9 deep, and when you get to number 9 and he's still not on the list. You're going, man, I mean, where's this? Is this guy going to play over Andrew White? Is he going to play over, you know, you start going into the line and man, I don't know. And so it's going to be interesting. I'm with you that he may not redshirt, but cracking the rotation might be a problem this year for him, which maybe begs the question, why not redshirt? So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Brandon Green. Kind of a guy that seems to be flying under the radar a little bit. And you heard from the coaches clinic, you know, he's having those, Bill Self does all those coaches clinics. There's some posts on the internet talking about how the coaches were observing the practice and Self was just riding Brandon Green. He was just like the whipping boy for the last few weeks. So that's a good thing though. If you're riding the guy, that means you want him to succeed. You want him, you know, he's got the skill set. So we'll see what happens there. Well, that's all we got for the newbies, the fresh faces of KU, the rookie classes. Let's move on to like some basketball talk. What do you say? Maybe 2012, just a little short recap there. 31-6. That marks the 30 plus wins for the fourth straight year, which by the way ties the NCAA record. So if we go over 30 wins this year, that sets the NCAA record for consecutive years. Of course, we won our 9th straight Big 12 title. Self won his 300th game as the KU head coach, and that's in 10 years. So 30 games per year, kind of crazy. And then the fifth time in Self's 10 years at KU that we were a 1 seed. And I thought that was kind of an interesting stat. Half the time since Self has been here, we've been a 1 seed in the tournament. Think about that.
And the other times have been 2, 3, or 4.
Right, yeah. I mean, it hasn't been any much different, but that's just crazy, man. So let's talk about the schedule a little bit. I'm going to let you take the lead here.
Well, as we all probably know, it's the toughest schedule in basketball this year. And that's not necessarily an opinion. That's kind of regarded as a fact. And if it's not the toughest, it's one of the toughest. We played 15 teams that advanced to the postseason last year. Just to give you a couple highlights of the non-conference, we've got obviously Duke, the second game of the year in Chicago. We have at Colorado, at Florida, New Mexico, Georgetown, and San Diego State. And this is all in the non-con. So these are all pretty great teams. A lot of people boast about playing one of those teams in their schedule, but we play all of them. So, I mean, it'll be an exciting non-conference season. But let's just go through the schedule real quick before we get into some predictions. Do you want to kind of go back and forth on this conference thing, Kevin?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna do a little more extensive conference preview down the road. But just for the sake of getting it all out there, let's talk about each one of the Big 12 teams. So let's start off with obviously Oklahoma State. They're gonna be the big dog, the other big dog in the conference. You know, every good player is back from their 24 win season. Including Marcus Smart, Markel Brown, LeBryan Nash, and Phil Forte. They're going to be the one to watch.
I agree. Probably the next best team, I think you'll agree, is Baylor. They still have Isaiah Austin and Corey Jefferson, who both of them kind of flirted with going pro, came back. They still have good old Brady Heslop there. So they have a pretty good team, at least on paper. We'll see if they can put it together, as that's usually the question.
And then the next is Iowa State. And I think that no one's really talking about them. I think they're going to be an underrated team that's going to really surprise some people, like they do every year. But, you know, they return George Niang and Melvin Ejim. Hoiberg clearly knows what he's doing. He's got some transfers coming in, especially a guy that's going to contribute, a guy named DeAndre Kane. So early in the season, look out for DeAndre Kane, newcomer, going to kind of be a superstar for them.
All I do know is that somehow we're going to screw Iowa State over and they're going to cry about it. That's the only thing I know. I don't know anything about their team. I just know that much. Kansas State, and this is kind of crazy. I think they are the fourth best team in this conference and they are terrible. So that's kind of where we're at right now with the Big 12. Magruder is gone. Of course, he led the team in scoring. He led them in rebounds. And then, you know, the second team leader, good old Angel Romero is gone. Angel Rodriguez is gone as well, left for Miami. So I don't know. It starts to question, is this the Bruce Weber regression that we saw at Illinois once he lost all his players that self-recruited? It could be. We'll see.
Then we got Oklahoma. They lost their top three scorers, including Romero Osby. Their leading returning scorer is Buddy Hield at 7.8 points per game. But I think that Lon Kruger always puts together a good team, always puts together a tough team, and I think that they're going to be better than people think.
I agree. West Virginia is next on our list here, coming off a pretty ugly 13-19 record last year. Lost three of his best players from last year, did old Huggy Bear. It will be interesting to see what happens. He could not get them to buy into his toughness mentality last year. Maybe some new guys, some fresh faces will be able to do that, but not expecting much from West Virginia.
I agree. Next is Texas. Okay, let's talk about Texas. Rick Barnes apparently is on the hot seat, even though he's taken Texas to the tournament 15 or 14 out of the past 15 years. It's been a good run. The recruiting well has been a little bit low the past couple of years. They lost just about everyone, either to transfer, the draft, or to injury. Kabongo's gone. Sheldon McClellan's gone. Julian Lewis is gone. Jonas Papapetru is gone. I think that they are kind of getting back to basics down there in Texas. I think there's a couple of good guys. Javon Felix, is that his name? And
something like that.
Cameron Ridley, an All-American from last year, are going to be pretty good players. And I think that they're going to keep him in games. They're not going to be this awful team. But there's just not a whole lot there. They're going to struggle to get some wins.
Agreed. TCU is next on the list. They return just one starter, and that's Kyan Anderson. But they do have highly touted, and actually KU recruited for a bit, Carvier Shepherd on the team. Devonta Abram was a pretty good player returning, but unfortunately he tore his Achilles on a preseason Canada trip. It's kind of a bummer for TCU. I actually struggled with ranking TCU in Texas, so that's kind of where Texas is at right now.
Oh, I would put Texas over TCU, but TCU is going to be a better team. Hopefully we don't lose to them, though.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be better, but I don't think that we should lose. Let's not even talk about that. Agreed. And then the last team up, Texas Tech, Tubby Smith takes over. They're going to be terrible this year, but with Tubby Smith there, maybe they can get back some respectability. I don't know. We'll see.
We will see. So that is the Big 12. Overall, pretty down this year, I think, when you start kind of looking at players and
pretty return. Down. Yeah, pretty down, but top heavy. I mean, there's all the eyes are going to be on Wiggins and Marcus Smart. So,
of course.
It's going to be a big league in terms of visibility because of those two guys. The
I'm
rest
saying
of the
there's no storylines.
Yeah, the rest of the guys, eh, we'll see.
Yeah. We will see. We will certainly have a more extensive Big 12 preview podcast once we get through the non-conference season. But, I think it's time, Andrew, we do our second annual Jayhawk Talk preseason awards ceremony. What do you think about maybe talking about the All Big 12, the Jayhawk Talk All Big 12 team? What do you got on your team?
Well, you put a team together. I did not put a team together. I'm going to comment on your team.
Okay, you tell me what you think of my team.
Okay, go ahead. Name your team.
I have Marcus Smart, Wayne Selden, this guy named Wiggins, another guy named Ellis, and Isaiah Austin. Thoughts on that team?
Well, I don't think that would ever happen because that's 3KU guys. Just
I couldn't find anybody else.
Well, because we don't know yet because we are not studying the other teams extensively. I think two of those guys get in, and I think it's Wiggins and Ellis. As far
and
as
Smart.
who replaces, well, I mean, in terms of KU.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be tough for three to get in. If three gets in, that means they're all scoring above 15 points a game, maybe. You got to think someone like Markel Brown gets in just because he's going to get more shots than Wayne Selden is. Just, he's going to score more points.
You know, Jefferson's making some preseason lists and ahead of Perry Ellis. I think that's
and maybe deservedly so.
Yeah.
But you and I are big Perry Ellis guys. So
yeah, that's true.
Of course, we're gonna put him in. Next, you have Player of the Year. You put Marcus Smart. What are you thinking there, Kevin?
I think that the hype train on Wiggins is too high, too crazy. I think it ends up being he ends up blending in with KU a little bit next year or this year. By blending in, I mean he's not scoring 30 a game. He's not, you know, this absolutely crazy astronomical player that everyone's talking about. He ends up just being solid, really good, showing flashes of that crazy athleticism, but not just like taking over games and being this, you know, monster that I think everyone's expecting. I think he has a great year. I think he's all Big 12. I think he's the first pick in the draft. But when you start looking at Player of the Year at the end of the year, because of all the great talent on the KU team, and I think he'll defer just a little bit because I think that's just sort of in his mentality, I think it ends up going to Marcus Smart. That's just my preseason prediction. I don't want it to happen. I hope Andrew Wiggins scores 45 points a game, and he's everything that we all hope he's going to be. But I think he'll still be a really great player, a really good season, but maybe not Big 12 Player of the Year. Thoughts?
I see where you're coming from. I think it just depends on what Andrew Wiggins does. I think it's going to be a battle, though. I think it's going to be not only a battle for Big 12 Player of the Year, but those two guys could battle for National Player of the Year. So just saying that one is better than the other in terms of like awards isn't going to be just this conference thing. It's going to be a wide-ranging deal. Next, you have Newcomer of the Year, Tarik Black. I agree. Other possibilities... DeAndre Kane, like I said, from Iowa State, and there's a handful of other guys.
Baylor's got a transfer point guard coming
right,
in.
Right. And they're saying, like, oh, they're hoping he can just jump in and, like, be the next Pierre Jackson. With JUCO transfers, there's the most variance. Like, they can either be really good or really bad. There's no middle ground. You know, there's a higher risk involved. So who knows what ends up going on down there in Baylor. Next, you have Bill Self, Coach of the Year. Okay, I agree, but I think Bill Self should be retired from winning the coach of the year.
True.
Like, they should just like move him along and let somebody else try to do it. And so I'm gonna pick somebody else. I'm gonna say Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah.
Gets in there because this is a team that not a lot of people are talking about. I think they're gonna have some success, and I think that, you know, to win a coach of the year, you have to kind of have a unknown team do well. Right. That's kind of the recipe for winning that award.
I agree, and I think he could potentially do that. He could potentially end up sneaking up there and battling for second in the Big 12, and then he could potentially jump to the NBA. Thoughts on that? I think he is the next NBA coach out of college ranks.
That would be crazy.
I think NBA history. Everyone.
There would be no more City of Ames. Like, if the mayor leaves, mm-hmm. you know, this the ship sinks. It's over.
I think it'll be really interesting to see how he does. I hope he does well. I kind of like that when Iowa State is pretty good, assuming we just continue to beat them. Next up, our Kim English Hated Player of the Year Award.
I love this. They should have the media vote on this. Like, this should be an actual category. Yeah. Not just a Jayhawk Talk category, but for everyone to decide. I like your nominations. We talked about this earlier, but I like it when it's all together. So we have Marcus Smart, Cobbins from Oklahoma State, Markel Brown from Oklahoma State. Do you get a trend here? We got DeAndre Kane possibly from Iowa State. Apparently he's kind of buying into that whole Iowa State mentality. Melvin Ejim from Iowa State. And then Thomas Gibson from K-State. That's a solid list of hated players.
Right. I think Kim English would approve of all of them personally. Absolutely. So that's good. So who's your guy? You pick one.
I'm going to go with Thomas Gibson.
Okay.
Because he's going to be the face of the Wildcats this year in terms of their supposed swagger. Like, any kind of muscle that they're going to have is going to go through Thomas Gibson. It's not going to go through anybody else.
Think about this. A Thomas
Gibson. It's not going to go through Will Spradling.
A Thomas Gibson Tariq Black matchup. That could be some fun. Just think about that. Just slow down.
Are you
just
talking about basketball? Are you talking about cage match?
Either one would be awesome. Well, I'm going to go with Marcus Smart.
Gibson, heard Thomas Gibson lost 25 pounds. So he's not
really?
Be, huh. Maybe it's all. I don't know. There you go.
Good for him. I'm going with Marcus Smart. He's the one that's talking the most shit. Sorry. That's just, I think it's the easiest to go with the guy that's talking the most shit.
And that's really my pick too, but I wanted to talk about two different guys.
I figured you did. Okay, so next up, this is the Keaton Page Annoying White Guy Award. Of course, Keaton Page, formerly of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, really annoying white guy, three-point shooter. So we decided to make a category because there's a lot of options this year. You want to run through the contestants?
Yeah, let me give you some criteria. You've got to, first of all, kind of hate the guy. And also, you have to think to yourself, oh, that guy's still on the team? I thought that guy graduated.
Exactly.
So, guy who shoots a lot of threes, guy you kind of hate. If he has annoying hair, that helps too.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the nominees here. Brady Heslip, obviously. Phil Forte from Oklahoma State. And Will Spradling from K-State. I think it's obvious that the winner is Brady Heslip.
Especially if you include the hair.
Especially if you include their hair. I thought he graduated. I thought he was dead. So, I mean, that's like literally, I'm meeting every bullet point here.
I'm with you. I think that is who the award has to go to. Of course, we also have the Marshall Henderson Awesome Guy Player of the Year. We couldn't really come up with anybody, but we really liked Texas Tech's guy named Todrick Gotcher. So we just gave it to him because we liked his name. So there you go. The last one, Andrew, I'm going to let you take this one.
Okay. This category is the Scott Drew Douchey Coach of the Year. And the nominees are Scott Drew and Travis Ford. And I think Travis Ford wins.
Oh man. Unseating Scott Drew from the douchiest or from the Scott Drew Douchey Coach of the Year.
I think Travis Ford wins. He's put up a pretty good, campaign so far.
Wow, that I think you're right. I mean, I think that's it's just kind of the upset of the award so far. I think Travis Ford, the preseason Scott Drew Douchey Coach of the Year Award winner. So we will see if that plays out. Let's talk about some early season storylines. Of course, a real quick, congratulations to all our preseason winners. We really
You can pick up your trophies at nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Early season storylines. I'm going to let you take this here, take the lead on this one.
Okay, when I came up with some of these, I was just looking at the first month of the season. So basically now through the end of the Battle for Atlantis tournament. And I was thinking to myself, what are the things I'm going to be looking for? And maybe some of the things that you all should be looking for too. So these are in no particular order, but these are the things that maybe a KU fan could like, kind of a storyline you want to see. So the first one is just a question that, you know, we can speculate on, and I'll ask Kevin this. When, if ever, will Joel Embiid start? And what does he need to do, like, skill-wise, to show you that he's ready to start?
I'm not sure he's going to start in November, and he may not start until the actual conference season comes around. And he may not start at all, to be honest. I mean, we've got an established four in Perry Ellis, and Tariq Black, like we've said, and like, you know, Self has said, he's kind of the leader of this team. We might see a situation where, you know, Kevin Young ends up being the starter, but Perry Ellis ends up playing a bunch of minutes. It might be a situation where we, you know, maybe who's in at the end of the game is the question instead of who's starting. But it'll be interesting to see. I think that Black might have it locked down at least for a while. But obviously, what do we need to see from him? You know, we need to see defensive development, defensive effort. He's got the skills. He's got the tools, but just putting it all together, slowing the game down, just things like that. What about you?
I think he's got to show some offensive moves. You know, early on for some of these big guys, they get the ball in the post and just kind of clank it off. You know, you saw Perry Ellis do that early on. You saw Jamari do that most of last year. So you kind of got to see some offensive finesse. And some offensive toughness. Question for you, just to close this one out. How many minutes do you think Embiid will play or average at the end of the year?
25.
So that's starter minutes. I mean, that's big time. Yeah. Let's move on. Will Andrew Wiggins live up to the hype? And that's obviously a huge question, but a more specific one is, what type of player do you think Andrew Wiggins is going to be? And I'll give you a couple options. Is he going to be a slasher? Is he going to score at the rim all the time? Is he going to take some shots? Is he going to take some threes? Is he going to get double teamed all the time and have to pass out of it? Like, what do you think his role is going to be, and what type of player does he end up being for Kansas?
What I want him to be is a guy who can take, you know, those one-on-one opportunities, because basically, we're going to try to get the guy the ball in spots where he has a chance to score. And we're going to use ball screens, and we're going to use motion. We're going to let the guy do what he does best, and that is that first step and that beautiful spin move he has to get to the basket and dunk on somebody. What I hope he doesn't settle for is being a jump shooter, being a three-point shooter. I hope he doesn't settle for trying to do too much, that he, you know, wants to, you know, try to show off and live up to that hype. I don't think he will. This is kind of what I mentioned before. I think he ends up kind of deferring a little bit. I think he ends up playing within the game and within the game plan. But the good news is the guy is so good and has so much talent that even if he is playing within that game plan, he's going to shine. And, you know, I think he'll be a slasher. I think he will be able to hit that spot up jumper. I just hope he doesn't settle for jumpers. What about you?
I totally agree. I'd like to see us avoid this three-point trap that a lot of these hyped players get into. You know, Brandon Rush do that, Xavier do that. He needs to be going to the basket. If he's going to the basket most of the time down the floor, we're going to be in a good spot. Let's move on to the next one. Nadir Tharp, what's he going to do? Is he going to live up to this preseason talk of being, you know, the real leader of the team? Or is he going to take too many shots? What do you expect out of Nadir?
The good news is on this team, we have a lot of offensive firepower. Last year, you can't really say we did. And so when he would come into the game, you know, he'd start chucking shots and everyone would kind of get upset with him. And I think a lot of people thought coming into this season that he was going to do the same thing, that, You know, he's just going to be this shoot first point guard when we need a game manager point guard. You know, everything we've heard from Self and otherwise is that he's this team leader, that he's coming in and really running the offense and being a vocal leader. And if that's the case, that means he's probably got, you know, a pretty good grasp on the offense as well. And if he's got that, that means he's distributing, he's getting the ball to the playmakers. I really have high hopes for him this year. I hope he's not a shoot first point guard. But the good news is the guy can actually shoot a little bit. And he can get to the hole a little bit. He's got probably too much swagger than he should for his game. But I do really like him, and I actually really hope he ends up being you know, a serviceable point guard, because that is probably the one spot on this team that we really need. What about you?
I agree. I think he needs to be one of those guys who sets up everybody else. There's so much skill going around. He could make, you know, he could be revered in this town if he could just learn how to, and he knows how to, if he can just get them the ball. Like, if he can just set up all these skilled players, he'll go down as one of the better point guards. Next, so the rotation, I think, is pretty much set in stone. I mean, Bill Self's been pretty upfront about it. Let's go through it real quick. Nadir at the point guard, Seldon at the two, Wiggins at the three, Perry at the four, Black at the five for now. Andrew Wiggins is the first guard off the bench. Andrew and then White. The two big guys. Excuse me, Andrew White. See, it's the Andrew with triplets.
Right.
We all get mixed up. We get confused.
Right.
And then the two big guys being Embiid and Jamari off the bench. That's pretty much what Bill Self has said. The question is, Kevin, is this set in stone? Does this have room to change? What do you think may change?
You know, he comes out and says this today in the media, and that's this 8-man rotation. This early in the season, you got to wonder if he's just going out there and saying that to kind of maybe start a fire, you know, fuel some of the guys that aren't quite playing as well as they should be. And you look at guys like Brandon Green and Frank Camp and Frank Mason and Landon Lucas, you know, people not talking about him. It's just, you got to wonder if maybe he's coming out and saying this to maybe light a fire under them a little bit, maybe say, look, you know, you're not in the rotation right now. What, you better start working a little harder and showing me that you deserve it. And so I guess it makes you wonder a little bit, but I don't know. To me, it seems like a pretty solid rotation. You got to wonder, the only thing that I don't see in that group is a secondary point guard or secondary ball handler. You could say that Seldon could be that guy, but I don't know. I'd like to see Frank Mason or somebody maybe take that backup point guard role. What about you?
You know, I agree, but I think that's a solid top eight, and we can go forward from there. It'll be quite a good team. And the last question, we have 7 games in November. 3 of them are for the battle for Atlantis. What is your expectation as far as record, Kevin?
Well, I usually put out my preseason kind of prediction piece on Jayhawk Talk on the blog. I'll be doing that again this year, but I haven't really given it a whole lot of thought, so I'm going to probably defer to what I write there. But I don't know. I think we could probably – I think Duke is really the crazy game. If we can somehow beat Duke, I don't see how we can't beat the rest of the schedule in November. So Duke is the one team that – probably scares me the most. I'm not sure we win that game, but it's just with this team, there's so many question marks. We just haven't seen them. It's just hard to really have a, you know, crazy expectations this early in the season. Maybe after tomorrow, maybe after a couple of these exhibition games, we'll get a better idea, but I think maybe one loss in November. What about you?
I think that's possible. And remember, we play 3 games in Atlantis with potentially playing teams like, if we make the championship, Villanova, Tennessee, Iowa, all pretty good teams. So, I mean, we're going to get some play in November. But a one loss through November, I think we roll in because we're going to have a tough December. But that's good. You want to move on to Twitter questions?
Let's do it. Of course, we do our little Twitter segment. Thank you for everybody who tweeted in some questions. So let's start with at RCW Sports. He asks, the hype is based around Wiggins, but who is this team's leader? Should Tharp be that guy? And we talked about that just a little bit, but should Tharp be the, you know, the guy, the leader of this team at the point guard?
I think he is. I think he should be, and he is. From all what we've heard, it's Tharp and Black. I think those are the two guys who are kind of taking the vocal leadership, and I think that that's the way it needs to be. Maybe down the road, Andrew Wiggins can step up, but he doesn't need to be. And this luxury playing for Kansas, especially now, is he doesn't need to be that guy.
I agree. This is from at Megawatts8. Who will take McLemore's place in signature locker room dances? And I thought this was a really important question.
You know, the team took a blow. We lost McLemore, but we also lost Rio Adams, who was arguably better.
The understudy. Than
McLemore. Like, he was the understudy. You know, he was in danger of showing up McLemore, so I think he had to tone him down. So there's a real vacuum in dancing. So it's going to... It leaves a lot of room for people to step up.
Who's your guy?
I think it's Nadir.
I do too. I really hope it's Tyler Self, but I think it's Nadir.
We'll see. Nadir, challenges out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do some dancing.
All right, here's one from at Foolery Tommy. How many times will Wiggins get 30-plus points? Kind of interesting question. I think Ben McLemore topped 33 times last year. So let's set the over under at 3.5. I'm gonna take the over, but I would like to get an idea of what you think.
I want to take the over too.
Okay, so let's, since we both took the over, how about setting the over under at 5.5? Yeah,
I'll take the, that's a good line. That's a good line.
So you're not sure?
I don't know what I take. Then it's just 50 for me.
All right. I'm taking the under on that. I think he'll have like 4 or 5 30-plus games. That's if you want me to guess, that's what I'm guessing. But I think he'll have a lot of those like 22, 23-point games. At least I hope so, man. It's so weird trying to predict what he's going to do. We're talking about this freshman that no one's ever seen play college basketball. It's kind of exciting. But I have no freaking clue what the guy's going to do. I hope he's awesome.
So, yeah, the next time we talk, we'll have a better idea about what's going on, because we're just making stuff up. We haven't seen any of these guys play. We've seen Perry Ellis play. Boy, we love the guy, but we know nothing.
Yeah, that's what makes it so much fun this year. It's going to be such an intriguing team to watch. The athleticism is just out of control. The hype is out of control. And, of course, I think everyone just trusts Bill Self to put it all together. That's why he makes the big bucks. Okay, here's one last question from at Hawkhead_GM, who I think asked like 7 or 8 questions, all of which were pretty good. But I chose this one. How many Lion references will Dave Armstrong make about Joel Embiid?
4.
And of course, talking about when Joel Embiid tweets out a couple days ago that he killed a lion when he was in Africa. And
then no one believed him.
And none of his teammates believe him. And I'm not sure. Maybe that's the real question. Do you think he killed a lion, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude. So anyway, yeah, that's a good question. I think I'll take the over on whatever line you set for good old Dave Armstrong. That seems like something he would really grasp onto. What do you say we get to the Johnny's gift card giveaway?
What we're going to do here, so we're going to give away a gift card. Once again, if you remember from last week, you have to be able to go to the Johnny's Power and Light location and pick it up. We'll just send them your name. You pick up your $30 courtesy of Johnny's Tavern. And what we're going to do is text in or tweet in your prediction for tomorrow's score. And the person who gets the closest to the actual score will score the $30.
Very nicely said. So just to clarify, if the game is 100 to 50 and you say it's 99 to 49, you were 2 points away. So that would be a pretty good guess. If we have a tie, Andrew, what do you want to do in the event of a tie?
The first one to tweet it.
Okay. I like it. So get it out there quick. The Jayhawk, just tweet it to me at Jayhawk Talk. You can include at Naismith Drive in the tweet as well. Give us your predictions on what do you think the score will be tomorrow night. And I want to know, Andrew, what is your prediction on what the score will be tomorrow night?
103-67.
I'm going to take the under on both of those. I'm going to say 96 to 57. That's what I got.
Good.
So we'll see.
Kevin, before we go.
Yeah.
I have a dilemma.
Uh-oh.
What? And I need to have you talk it out with you and the podcast listening audience from here in Jayhawk Nation.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at lunchtime, I'm going to make my annual trek to go buy a KU jersey. Okay? Because, you know, I'm a jersey guy, right?
You are a jersey guy. And maybe we should take this opportunity to note that you're 29 years old.
Right. That's the point, is that Rick Riley on ESPN came out with these rules that you have to follow these rules in order to wear a jersey to a sporting event. And I think that they're pretty good. I'm going to run through a couple of them. The first one is you may not wear a jersey past age 29. So this is my last year to get away with wearing a jersey.
Yeah, I can't wear one anymore. I'm 30.
You're done.
I'm done.
You may not wear a jersey without a shirt underneath it. You know, that's obvious.
Good rule.
This is a good rule too. This is like an entourage rule. You may not wear a jersey if somebody else in your group is already wearing one. It's kind of like the fedora rule. So there's a lot of these things, but most importantly, it's the 29. So I got to go get a jersey tomorrow because this is my last season to wear a jersey and be a respectable human being. What should I get? What color and what person should I get? Tweet at me,
man,
before I go tomorrow, before the game, to get it and give me your recommendation. What is your recommendation, Kevin?
I guess it depends on your mentality, because are you one of those guys that wants to make sure you get the jersey that's going to have some staying power? Like, Connor Francamp's going to be here for 4 years. Do you want to get the Connor jersey so you got some staying power? But then again, you're 29. You only have 1 year, so maybe you should get a one and done. This is tough, man. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
People, text me or tweet me at Naismith Drive. Convince me on what I should get and what color.
If it were me, I think I'd get a Seldon jersey. I don't know why. I think I just like Seldon. I like the number
too
one.
Too old. You are too old.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can hang it on my wall, though, right? I can still buy a jersey. I just can't wear it.
Oh, yeah, this is just wearing. Yeah.
All right. What about, like, around my house? Can I just, like, wear it around my house? Just me?
Dylan, you can do that. This is at a sporting event or just out in public.
What about Go ahead.
I just want to run through a couple of these other. By wearing a jersey, you have a bunch of waivers. And one of the waivers is, by wearing a jersey, you are waiving any semblance of coolness. I disagree with that.
Well,
I'll make that waiver.
Any other waivers you want to throw out there? Is that all you got?
By wearing a jersey to a road game, you waive your right to a busted free nose.
That's pretty good. I think he's starting to stretch that, Rick Riley.
Yeah.
Well, you know, good luck with that. I'm wishing you the best of luck. I hope you get a Wayne Seldon jersey. I think you should not get an Andrew jersey, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I think you should break away from the Andrew clan. Get one that's not Andrew. I know you and your brother got the Marcus and Markieff Morris jerseys. So
which
you
was hilarious.
Have a 21. You don't need one of those. 22. Or you were 21 or 22. Which one do you have?
I'm the older brother, so I got the Markieff jersey.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So maybe 22. You could get a Wiggins and send you have a 21 and a 22. Good luck to you on that. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't.
So the Twitter public, let me know.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. Enjoy watching the first KU basketball game. Of course, an exhibition game, but we're still counting it as real basketball in Allen Fieldhouse with tickets and money and popcorn and you packing the fieldhouse. Crazy amount of students this morning, Andrew, at the lottery. Something like 2,000 students showed up to camp out for the game, get the lottery for the camping group. So a ton of hype around this season, surrounding this season. These freshmen are going to be crazy. We really appreciate you listening into the podcast. We will be back later this week talking about what we saw, hopefully talking about a massive blowout and Andrew Wiggins scoring 100 points. So we will catch you next time. Thanks again, and rock chalk. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real.
Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the final four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the booster showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk